First case is 06-1889, State Act 12, Mosier Industrial Services Corp. versus Industrial Commission of Ohio. Ms. Payer.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve on behalf of the appellant, the Industrial Commission of Ohio, 3 minutes for rebuttal. Treating an employer who pays wage continuation differently than an employer who was involved in a claim where temporary total disability compensation is paid by the state insurance fund does not violate the Equal Protection Clause because there is a rational basis for the difference in treatment. That rational basis is found in the public policy belief that the employer who chooses wage continuation can protect itself with its contract. The employer's statutory argument and its constitutional argument here could be answered by clarifying the difference between wage continuation and temporary total disability compensation. This case is about wage continuation. A wage continuation agreement is a private contract between the employer and the injured worker. There is no loss of wages involved because the injured worker is being paid his wages directly by the employer.
And here, I guess there's no question that the employer chose this method of payment because it was wanted to protect its premiums. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's in the record, I assume. It's in the briefs. Is it in the record?
That is correct, Your Honor. Your Honor, in wage continuation,
under your analysis, is it ever possible then for an employer that does the, or employee that accepts a wage continuation agreement to get maximum medical improvement status?
No, Your Honor. Under a wage continuation agreement, that is not possible. Maximum medical improvement is something that is covered by the workers' compensation statute, and unless an individual is on temporary total disability,
okay. So what happens when the worker who's accepted the wage continuation, therefore relieving workers' comp of the payment and the obligation and the taxpayer burden, then they reach what is the equivalent of maximum medical improvement? Is the company obligated to keep that wage continuation going, or can they convert for a week to temporary total and then get MMI, or are they forever precluded under your argument?
Your Honor, the injured worker would not be forever precluded. If the wage continuation agreement is ended, and that would be something that the employer would hopefully provide for in their contract, if the wage continuation agreement is ended, the employee, the injured worker, could then go back and file an application for temporary total disability compensation under the Workers' Compensation Fund.
So if you say that's what they can do, then why do we need to go to that sort of legal fiction of terminating it, when by law he should be entitled to MMI?
Under the wage continuation agreement, that is the employer's contract, and the employer should be providing a mechanism within that contract to terminate the wage continuation. If the employer hasn't provided a way to terminate wage continuation, it can't seize the jurisdiction of the commission because it's opted to stay out of the workers' compensation system. It can't seize the jurisdiction of the commission and try and come back in just to get a finding of maximum medical improvement for the injured worker.
So doesn't the worker then is the one that ends up harmed by this process that you're suggesting?
The worker would not be harmed under this process because essentially what we're concerned with in this, with wage continuation, temporary total disability, is that the worker is always being paid for the loss of wages, and under either of the choices the employer has, the worker is always going to be compensated for his loss of wages.
But he can't ever get MMI under your scenario, so how is he going to be compensated when he reaches MMI? You would terminate him. You would say he's not eligible. So how does he ever get MMI?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm not
following
your question.
Okay, under your scenario, if he has a wage continuation and he reaches what's the equivalent of MMI status, he's not entitled to it, correct? So how does that protect the employee?
Maximum medical improvement is statutory, and it is under the Workers' Compensation Act, under 412353, and there cannot be a finding of maximum medical improvement unless the injured worker is receiving temporary total disability.
He doesn't get it, period.
Counsel, I'd like to approach it in a slightly different way. You've indicated that the employer, if they want to choose this route, of wage continuation should provide in their contract a termination point. Has the Industrial Commission articulated, or the Bureau, what needs to be in the four corners of a contract in order to qualify for wage continuation to take you out of the comp? This was done by the employer to protect a bump up in rates. Are there any guidelines that articulate what needs to be in the contract in order to qualify in the first place for wage continuation, specifically relating to termination of the benefit?
No, Your Honor, not within the Workers' Compensation Act. The Workers' Compensation Act does not address specifically what needs to be in the employer's contract.
Has the Bureau or the Commission adopted any rule that would provide guidance for that?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor.
So I think what's maybe troubling us is mechanically, how do you see this working? In other words, would the employer be able to qualify a wage continuation in lieu of workers' comp if the contract said to the employee, we can terminate this benefit at any time?
If the employer decided to draft its contract with a mechanism to say that it can terminate it at any time, that would always leave the injured worker with the ability to go back to the workers' compensation system and file an application for temporary total disability. The Bureau would have to consider that application and make an assessment at that time. So there is always an option for the injured worker.
Okay, and that's the point then. They would file another C-84, I guess it is, and then that's the point at which there would be an evaluation of the medical condition of the injured employee within the purview of the comp system to determine whether or not they're entitled to temporary total going forward from that point in time, or whether they've reached maximum medical improvement.
Yes, Your Honor, that could very well happen. When the injured worker files a new application, the Bureau would take a look at the application and determine whether or not the individual was eligible for temporary total disability. If the individual is entitled to temporary total disability compensation, then the employer is now back in the workers' compensation system. He's covered by it, and the employer can file a motion to have a finding of maximum medical improvement, determine the extent of disability, and terminate temporary total disability because the employer has now come back into the system.
Are those two different tests, the test for whether or not the employee is qualified for temporary total and the test of whether or not they've reached maximum medical improvement? Are those two different kinds of medical analysis, or are they one and the same?
They are covered under two different portions of the statute, Your Honor. Temporary total disability is based on the loss of wages. If there is no loss of wages, then the employee is not entitled to receive temporary total disability. And in another portion of the workers' compensation statutes, unless the individual is receiving temporary total disability, the commission does not have jurisdiction to order the individual to submit to a medical examination to determine maximum medical improvement.
So what if the employee files that form and it comes back and the doctor says they've reached MMI, they're not qualified for temporary total, then the Bureau says what?
If the employee has filed the form, Your Honor, and there's a determination that the employee has not reached maximum medical improvement, then the employee would continue.
No, the determination is they have.
If they have reached maximum medical improvement, then the employer can always file a motion to terminate temporary total disability.
No, they're not on temporary. They're on a continuing wage. They want to get back in the system. They now file the forms. The form says, you're already done with temporary total. You're now into MMI. What happens?
The commission doesn't have jurisdiction when there's a wage continuation agreement.
So the employee cannot, if the employee reaches MMI under a wage continuation, under your scenario, the employee can never get MMI, correct?
Not a finding of MMI if there's a wage continuation agreement. That is right.
At what point does a permanent partial or temporary partial, I'm not sure what the terminology is, but it's a step beyond temporary total disability income. When does that kick in relation to these two? When can the employee apply for that?
Your Honor, I think you might be referring to permanent total disability. I'm getting confused now. That would be something beyond temporary total disability and, again, falling back into the workers' compensation system. In our case, we have an employer who's chosen to go outside of the workers' compensation system. But if the employer is back in, then there can be a medical examination to determine whether or not the employee has reached a point where he is permanently and totally disabled.
Eric Council, I'm a little confused here then. Getting back to what Justice Stratton was questioning, if an employee is in a wage situation with their employer, so the employer benefits by not having an increase in premiums, and it comes to the point, and this is not provided for in a contract, that the employer believes that the employee is no longer entitled to these wages, and then the employee files the C-84 with the commission to open a case with the commission. At that point, if there is a medical examination or a determination that there has been an injury and he is has a disability, albeit temporary, that's kind of an automatic. It's not something that is going to be unavailable to that worker, or is it? I want to know what happens at that juncture, because you have to get into the system in order to then have the MMI determination and have, you know, the benefits of that. But at that point, what would preclude the employee's application and participation in the system?
What precludes the employee's application and participation in the system at that point is, again, the employer's wage continuation agreement.
But say the employer's wage continuation agreement is, the employer says, I'm done. I'm not paying you anymore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the employee says, well, I'm still disabled and I still need, so I'm going to go back to the system to get my compensation. And he files a C-84.
Yes.
Is there anything that the employer does to block that C-84 consideration of disability?
The employer cannot block the employee. If the wage continuation agreement is over, it's terminated. And the employee goes and files a new application supported by a C-84 and other medical documentation. The employer cannot block that.
So he is then eligible for temporary total disability at that
Absolutely.
Point. So even if he's on it for a week, and the employer then files the request for the maximum medical improvement designation, that starts another avenue of activity, another exam and you know, et cetera, and a hearing and a determination. But I think what I wanted to be sure is that there is nothing that's going to preclude the participation of that employee once the private wage compensation program is terminated, either by agreement or voluntarily or, you know, in an adversarial manner. Is that correct?
You are correct, Your Honor, and I apologize if I was confusing. There is nothing that is going to preclude the employee from coming back into the system, and then the employer would again start a whole new avenue.
Was there a termination date in this contract?
Your Honor, in the contract, which is before the court in the appellant's brief at Appendix 9 and pages 9 and 10, there is nothing in the contract that provides for a termination date.
So presuming that there is a diagnosis by a doctor, even if it was done 2 years ago that gave rise to the private agreement, there was an agreement that this individual was injured and injured on the job, that same information can be supplied then to the commission for participation at a later date. Is that right?
It can be in the commission.
Or an updated, you know, version, just to acknowledge that there is an injury there, correct?
Correct, Your Honor, and then the commission would be able to consider it and go from there.
But just so I'm, if I'm clear, if, when you've come back into that system, you have already reached MMI, and your C-84 or whatever that form is that you file says you've reached MMI, you cannot get coverage.
the commission would consider the C-84 application and would take a look at everything that it had before it and make a determination. If the employers filed a request for a finding of maximum.
My question is very simple. If they've reached MMI at the point they try to get back in, they can't get coverage under your scenario.
Your Honor, I see I've run out of time. May
I
answer the question?
You can respond to the question.
Thank you.
They can get temporary total, but they can't get MMI, correct?
MMI is not a benefit, is it? MMI is, I thought MMI was the maximum medical improvement, meaning this person is not going to improve anymore. Doesn't the claimant then go into the permanent total or permanent partial system?
Yes, Your Honor, I believe that is correct.
So it's not like it's a benefit, it's a limitation, isn't it, on one's medical improvement. They can't improve anymore. And so either they're fully recovered or they have a permanent disability. Isn't that the way the system works?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
But you won't pay them because they were under wage continuation under MMI status.
That is correct. If a person is being paid wage continuation, they are not entitled to temporary total disability.
I think that's still a question of clarification. If the employer decides under the wage continuation plan, that this claimant has reached MMI, that's the employer's opinion under the contract. I thought you said earlier that the claimant can still come back and apply to the workers' comp system. I'm still temporary totally disabled, and I would like benefits under the system now because my contract has expired. The employer said no more benefits because I've reached my maximum medical improvement. Then I thought you indicated that the claimant could come back and apply for benefits in the workers' comp system. Is that true or not?
They can come back.
And
that doesn't
employer,
mean
sure. And the employer could challenge it. Could he or she not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just like they would in the normal process.
That's correct.
I want to take you back to the contract. There was no termination date in this instance. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So the wage continuation contract between Walker and Mosier here doesn't enable either party to get back into the system, does it? Because presumably it would continue. How in your world would there be a termination such that we could either get into an MMI determination or, as Justice Pfeiffer talked about, filing another application for temporary total if there's no termination of the contract?
There might be problems any way the employer looks at this, because if they didn't include a termination date in their contract, they could stop paying under the contract, and if they stop paying under the contract, there could be other ramifications somewhere down the line. But that is one avenue. If they stop paying, then the employee could go back to the system and ask to be considered under the system.
In light of Justice Moyer's question, let me ask it one different way. If the employer says you've reached MMI, but I'm not going to pay you anymore, I'm done with the wage continuation, the employee goes back and files with workers' comp, and the doctors agree, if you've reached MMI, you're entitled to MMI benefits, your position is he does not get them.
There are not benefits under MMI. MMI is a finding of maximum medical improvement.
But you get payment for lost wages under MMI. You get compensation, you get something to live on, because it means you're not going to get any better, correct?
That would take us into the next avenue of a higher stage of disability, which would be the permanent total disability.
And you can't reach that higher stage under your theory, because you can't qualify for MMI because you've never been in the system.
Under wage continuation, no, the person isn't in the system.
Is the only way for Mosier to get to extricate itself from this contract, to breach it by not making payments?
Under what's written in the contract, Your Honor, I can't see another way that Mosier could get out of this contract except for terminate the contract, just stop paying the wages.
So there'd have to be some sort of a determination by some tribunal somewhere with respect to the validity of this contract and the obligations of the parties under it, either by way of declaration, declaratory judgment, or some other cause of action or breach, in order to get a determination on its meaning.
I believe that is correct, Justice O'Donnell, yes.
So your view is that this case might be special because there's no termination date for the wage contract, but any other employer who would enter into this arrangement could provide an ending date, and that would trigger the filing of the application for temporary total.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you this question, and the Appellees Council can answer as well. Has it ever been determined that these wage continuation contracts are legally enforceable, that the employee or employer could withdraw at any time and go back into the workers' compensation system, that if you enter a contract, you can't do that? To your knowledge, have these ever been tested in court?
Justice Kepp, to my knowledge, no. This is a case of first impression under this type of situation, and there has never been a wage continuation tested as to whether or not you can go back into the system.
Thank you.
The Industrial Commission would ask this court to reverse the appellate court's decision. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Payer. Mr. Tarkowski.
If it pleases the court, I'd like to preface my remarks by advising you that Mosier Industrial Services is a small 25-employee company that is in Plymouth, Ohio, Richland County. It's a small business, and it's state-funded. And because it is a small business and because being directly involved in the state fund, often small businesses are faced with large premiums. To maintain its business, to maintain cash flow and such, it became group-rated, which is obviously a benefit to many state-funded employers. As a group-rated employee, it was faced with a situation where an individual, Sean Walker, suffered an injury in August of 2003, which affected his knee and also his back. On his knee, he had surgery. On his back, surgery was delayed for some period of time. It became a lost-time claim. Would become a lost time claim if there was any temporary total disability compensation, which would be paid by the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. It consulted its third-party workers' compensation administrator and was told basically that the way to go would be to pay wage continuation. Wage continuation is acknowledged as a part of the system. When we talk about, removing ourselves from the system by paying wage continuation, that's not the case. We're not removing anything from by having the employer pay wage continuation. You just, what you do is obviate the necessity for the Bureau of Workers' Compensation to pay temporary total disability compensation and to have the claim then classified as a lost time claim, which will, of course, up the employer's reserves and will cause it to be thrown out of its group by other employers in the group.
Counsel, in this case, the surgeries were then being paid for by the Bureau.
Yes, services, medical benefits, everything was being paid for by the Bureau. He was never out of the system.
So it's just the wages.
It was just the wages that were being paid.
But he was not classified as TT then.
That's correct. That's not true either. He was classified as being temporarily and totally disabled by the Bureau of Workers' Compensation in its order that was issued in September of 2003.
And then the employer filed the contract to pay
right.
wage continuation in lieu of the benefit.
As a consequence of that order, Your Honor, the employer entered into a wage continuation or salary continuation agreement. And with that salary continuation agreement, it then paid wages in lieu of compensation. And so it obviated the necessity for the Bureau of Workers' Compensation to pay that individual temporary total disability compensation under its September 2004 order, which was open-ended. Although that order indicated that temporary total would be paid from August 13th or 12th up until September 4th, I believe, or 5th, it also indicated compensation would be continued, as all these orders say, would be continued upon presentment of medical evidence supporting temporary total disability compensation. As soon as 1 week of compensation would have been paid, and this became a lost time claim, this would have been tragic for this employer and would similarly be tragic for many other small employers in similar situations that would be faced with losing their group rating and possibly losing their business because they wouldn't be able to make the huge payment.
But that's really not caused by the commission or the bureau. That's caused by the group.
That's true. Absolutely.
Which has very, many of these groups have very harsh rules that toss people out very quickly. And of course, there's a cross-subsidy going on in all of this that's now being ended by the Bureau because the rates that they were offered to these groups were ridiculously low. But that's
and that's very true, Your Honor. All I'm suggesting is that group rating is provided by the statute. Temporary total is provided by the statute. There is no specific statute that states wage continuation, and here are the requirements of wage continuation. But wage continuation historically has been approved by the Bureau of Workers' Compensation, that is, wages in lieu of compensation paid by the Bureau as a substitute for that compensation. And Ohio Revised Code Section 4123.52, when we discuss the continuing jurisdiction of the Industrial Commission, refers to wages in lieu of compensation. Ohio Administrative Code 4123-5-20 also prohibits payment of temporary total during a period of time when temporary total disability, when wage continuation is in fact paid. So this is all part of the system, and to suggest that it's outside the system, that's not true.
Well, point 50, while you're on,
yes,
which we really need to get to, I think, is the statute. 412356 refers only to, as you know, in the reference to medical or maximum medical improvement is in that section C.
That's correct.
And it refers to somebody who's receiving temporary total benefits. It doesn't refer to someone who's referring a wage continuation benefit, does it?
The term maximum medical improvement, yes, that is true. It is cited in that section of the Ohio Revised Code.
Doesn't
so you are correct. My motion, and what happened here, Your Honor, was that the claimant was, that is Mr. Sean Walker, who was injured, was awaiting surgery. And this is a long way of trying to answer your question here, but he was waiting for surgery. Surgery was approved. Then he didn't go ahead and have the surgery. There was another C-9 filed for surgery. That was approved. He still didn't have his back surgery. The employer was wondering, how long are we going to continue to pay wage continuation before he gets his treatment? We have to move this case off center. So I was retained for the purposes of trying to minimize the employer's exposure. And what had happened at that point was we contacted claimant's counsel, said, well, you know, your surgery's been approved, get him to have surgery. He changed counsel. Time went by. We finally set up a medical examination to have him examined on the issue of whether he was continuing to be temporarily and totally disabled or whether his condition had reached permanency because he wasn't going to have the surgery, it appeared. And so we filed a motion, and the motion was to terminate the underlying temporary total disability order to determine the extent of his disability and a finding of MMI. So MMI was only one of the parts of that motion. So when we look at that term, maximum medical improvement, yes, it is contained in the in Ohio Revised Code 4123.56. It only talks about temporary total, but maximum medical improvement is a term that's also used to just simply describe an individual who has reached a plateau. And when you reach that plateau, your condition is not going to get any better, as with Mr. Walker. If he's not going to have his surgery, he doesn't qualify. He's reached permanency. He doesn't qualify for the underlying temporary total disability compensation that was granted in the order of September of 2003.
The facts, let me interrupt you, please, because I think we need to get to the legal issue. We have to write on a legal issue, and it's not applied just to the facts. Unique facts in your case are very interesting, but they don't. They don't drive the legal decision we have to make. And my question is, why hasn't the General Assembly constrained the term maximum medical improvement to those claimants who are receiving total temporary disability under the usual system, not under a contract? Why is the language not limiting?
Well, the language only does refer, in fact, under that code to temporary total disability compensation because that's the heading for that compensation. But what I'm suggesting is that other parts of the code also refer to wage continuation as a substitute for temporary total disability compensation. So when we're talking about TT, it's almost synonymous with wage continuation
but the other in the parts
context
of, the code,
of what we're talking about.
But the other parts of the code don't refer to maximum medical improvement, do they?
Not that I know of, no.
What is the effect of this ruling on your company and on the employee?
What is the effect of what ruling, Your Honor?
Their decision, what is the effect of their position? If they were to win, because right now you have a finding of MMI under the Industrial Commission. They're challenging that, correct?
No.
Okay.
What happened was this. At the district level, at the DHO level, we presented our motion to determine the extent of claimant's disability, to terminate the obligation, the underlying obligation to pay TT for which we were paying wage continuation. The district hearing officer considered that motion, accepted jurisdiction, and said that based on the evidence presented, that the employer did not provide sufficient evidence to show that the claimant had in fact reached maximum medical improvement and that he was in fact expecting to have surgery. And so, actually, our motion had the desired effect of getting him to have surgery, which he had about 3 months later, to move the case off center. We, however, appealed because we did have medical evidence, a medical report from an independent medical examining physician that indicated he, in fact, had reached maximum medical improvement because at the time he was not in the process of having his surgery scheduled. And so I appealed it then to the staff level. And by the way, the district hearing officer also ordered additional allowances in the claim. The claim was allowed initially, which the employer did not dispute, for an L4-5 disc herniation. It was additionally allowed, based on medical evidence, for an L3-4 and an L5-S1 disc herniation or protrusion. I appealed all of that to the staff level. At the staff level, the additional allowance was, in fact, affirmed. My request to find the claimant to have reached maximum medical improvement was denied. The staff hearing officer did not reach the merits, but simply indicated because you are paying wage continuation, that is the employer, that consequently we have no jurisdiction to consider this because temporary total is not being paid, and therefore we have no jurisdiction to consider this issue. Now, the impact on the employer would be this: if under the wage continuation agreement, the employer or the claimant can at any time simply decide, I don't want to accept or I don't want to pay wage continuation anymore. And that's historically been the case with all wage continuation agreements. You don't have to have a separate finding on the wage continuation.
Is that contained in this contract? Is there a provision like that?
There is no provision, but that historically that's how these contracts have been interpreted. So this contract, yes, it is open-ended. It doesn't give a beginning date, doesn't give an ending date. It just says that wage continuation will, in fact, be paid to the claimant in lieu of benefits from the Bureau of Workers' Compensation as long as that individual is eligible for them. So what would happen is, in this situation, because we have an open-ended underlying order of temporary total disability compensation by the Bureau, which indicated TT from this date to this date and to be continued upon submission of medical evidence, and it said C-84 forms, and the claimant continued to submit proof of disability to the employer, and in some cases to the BWC as well, if we were to simply terminate that wage continuation payment to the claimant, the BWC would automatically start paying temporary total to the injured worker because you have an open-ended period of temporary total that's in that prior order. And that would automatically put this into a lost time claim before the employer would even have a chance to react. So in many cases, although sometimes the Bureau, after a long period of time, will issue a separate order and find that there is temporary total that's going to be paid to the injured worker, in many cases the Bureau does not do that and simply picks up on the old order and pays him temporary total disability compensation. And under those circumstances, the employer did not want to simply unilaterally terminate wage continuation without a finding from the Industrial Commission that, in fact, the claimant had reached maximum medical improvement or that he was otherwise not entitled to or be eligible for temporary total disability compensation.
Counsel, let's jump ahead, although, again, I don't think it's going to affect how we decide this case. A lot of time has expired. You indicated the employee has had surgery. Is he back to work? What's the status now? Are you into the permanent partials or?
Well, the status of this case now is simply that the injured worker did in fact have his lower back surgery. He did in fact return to work in the spring of 2006, and then unfortunately in June He suffered he was involved in an accident that was not work related, and he was killed. So he is no longer around, and maybe one of the reasons why claimant's counsel is not here today to argue.
Okay. Now, back to the legal status here. It seems the best argument you have is that there is an order for temporary total, and that the critical motion you filed was to terminate temporary total.
The motion was three parts. Yes, it was to terminate the underlying obligation of the Bureau to pay temporary total disability compensation.
And the Bureau said we don't have jurisdiction to decide that, although you're arguing if you had stopped issuing the checks, the employee wouldn't have had to file anything other than notice that the checks stopped coming. They wouldn't have had to even file a C-84.
I'm not suggesting that. The claimant then would have filed that C-84 form or other evidence, such as a C-30 or a Medco 14 form, any other document to establish disability related to the allowed conditions, and the Bureau would have then paid him his temporary total disability compensation.
So that would be like opening a new case?
Well, to that extent, the new case would be that he would start receiving temporary total. It's not a new case. He continues to enjoy the benefits of the workers' compensation system. I see that I'm out of time, but if I may have 10 seconds to indicate that one of the issues that was proposed by opposing counsel, I think the primary issue in the brief was that there was no additional evidence of disability after the initial CD4 form was filed with the Bureau of Workers' Compensation. First of all, that is an issue which was not brought up at any other appellate level, at the lower and in the lower court. It was not an issue that was brought up administratively, and I believe that the commission would be barred at this time from presenting any argument that there were no CD4 forms that were filed with the Industrial Commission to continue the underlying eligibility for temporary total and which would result in a payment of wage continuation. Notwithstanding that, there was in fact evidence, off work slips and medical records and medical 14s, which were submitted directly to the employer, and some of which were filed with the commission anyway.
I'd like to pursue the question about the legal enforceability of the wage continuation agreement. Is this really an enforceable contract, or is it more like a gentleman's or gentlepersons agreement for the employee essentially to forego the compensation from the Bureau as sort of either a favor to the employer or because it's more money to the employee?
It would be the latter, Your Honor, that it would be, if you want to term it that way, more of a favor to the employee and a benefit, obviously, to the employer. It's something which the employee does not have to enter into, and the employer does not have to enter into. It's voluntary on both sides and is terminable by either party at any time.
Thank you, Mr. Pukowski. Ms. Payer, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds. And I'll start it with a question. The Court of Appeals rested its opinion, it seems to me, on its conclusion that since the commission had ordered TTD, that although the claimant here was paid under the employer's agreement, or his agreement with the employer, that the commission retained jurisdiction to reenact, I suppose, the TTD payments. That seems to be the strongest basis upon which the Court of Appeals decided the case. What's your response to that argument or that finding by the Court of Appeals?
Your Honor, that order, in all due respect to my opposing counsel, was not open-ended. That order was closed, and it was for a closed period and had to be supported by C-84 forms, which are the medical forms the Bureau would rely on in order to pay a temporary total. That evidence was not submitted to the Bureau in this case. There was nothing to keep that order alive and going. There was nothing to support a finding for temporary total disability to continue into the future.
What I understand then, from your response to the Chief's question, if Mosier stopped making payments and the claimant filed an application for temporary total, the Commission would have the authority to order it.
That is correct, Your Honor. The commission would look at that new application. They would take into consideration the medical evidence that the injured worker submitted, if he were able to, obviously, now that we know he's deceased. That sort of changes things, but if new medical evidence was submitted, the commission would take that into consideration and they would make a new decision.
And if that new medical evidence showed maximum medical improvement instead of temporary total, you would say we don't have jurisdiction, we can't make a decision. Yes or no?
Counsel, let me help you with that. The C-84 doesn't, that's a form filed by the employee. That isn't going to show maximum medical improvement, presumably, or the employee wouldn't be, or his lawyer wouldn't be fooling around filing it in the first place.
That is correct, Your Honor. There has to be, the C-84 is filed by the injured worker.
You said, I guess you pointed this out before and I didn't catch it. Underpinning your argument is that the initial establishment of temporary total had a fixed period of time, and that time had expired. So as far as the Bureau is concerned, this gentleman was not on temporary total and did not have an order for temporary total at the time this dispute arose.
There was an order, Your Honor. However, the order was not supported by the proper documentation that was requested by the order.
So is it in limbo at that point if the documentation isn't filed? Or does it just, is it there and becomes active the minute the documentation is filed?
The order exists. It doesn't become active the minute the documentation is filed. The Bureau would have to, again, reassess an application, take it under consideration, and make a new decision.
Let me ask my question one more time. If the employee comes back and applies, and the evidence, whatever form it takes, shows he's already reached MMI, instead of giving him anything, you would say you have no jurisdiction?
No, Your Honor. The employee, if he comes back and reapplies, the Bureau would take the application, consider the medical evidence that was submitted. If that included an examination for medical reasons to determine maximum medical improvement, then that would be considered, and the Commission would make a decision based on that evidence that was submitted.
And if he's MMI, but he's received wage continuation, what does the Bureau say?
There can't be an examination under statute for a medical examination can't occur under statute under 412353 unless the individual is on temporary total disability under the statute, which is 412356. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Payer. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.